On March 9, 2017, the Federal Reserve reported that the net worth of U.S. households, including nonprofit organizations, rose to $93 trillion during the fourth quarter of 2016. That's up 6% from the end of 2015. Now, this net worth is the sum of all assets, such as homes, stocks, bonds, your cars, your cash, minus all the debts we all have, including mortgages and credit cards, student loans and auto loans. Actually, it's really amazing that they can even come up with a number like that, where they can actually figure out the net worth of the entire country. Now, the big rally in stocks and a steady climb in home prices added more than $2 trillion of wealth to household balance sheets. The biggest contributor was the stock market, which added over $700 billion in household net worth in the fourth quarter. And then the continuing increase in national real estate, where prices climbed by $557 billion in the fourth quarter, and that reaching a record of $26.5 trillion. Now, that number, that $26.5 trillion, exceeds the housing bubble's peak by more than $1 trillion. Talk of a bounce back. Wow. The household debt also increased at an annual rate of about 4% in the fourth quarter to about $15 trillion. Spurred by record low interest rates, we all know that, so more debt can be taken out, but the cost of servicing that debt isn't so much because the interest rates are so low. Consumer credit grew by 6% and mortgage debt grew by 3%, and these are annual rates. And even though U.S. household net worth hit a new high, that news is small solace to a majority of Americans, and here's the rub. The reason is that because the rising market benefits only a small percentage of U.S. households because stock ownership is concentrated among the wealthy. Many individuals who might have invested have also missed out of the 8-year bull market. You know, cash has flowed out of U.S. equity funds in the 6 of the past 8 years through 2016. And that's according to data from Morningstar. So not only have people not been invested in the stock market as a matter of course, those that were and got out, many of them have not gotten back in, and that is truly a shame. Also, rising home values benefited more U.S. households because there are more homeowners than stock owners, and because the value of homes far exceeds the value of stocks held by typical American families. So, you know, when you hear that your home is generally your most valuable asset, that's what they're talking about. And if you multiply that times hundreds of millions of people, then you get these really, really big numbers. Even so, the home ownership rate is near a 50-year low, and it's well below its pre-crisis peak in 2006. So home prices have risen and created more net worth, but not as many people are owning their own homes. So this is why the so-called wealth effect isn't having as much of an impact on how consumers are spending their money as much as it used to. I think wealth effects have also been smaller than usual due to this lingering caution that so many people have after the financial crisis. Also, personal savings rate is now 5.5% as of January of this year, twice as high as a decade ago. And while there are early signs of wage growth, wages have grown surprisingly slowly for much of the economic recovery. So while bulging portfolios are nice, fatter paychecks or what we need to kick this U.S. economy into high gear. And this new report also begs the question, which is this: which income class do you belong to? They talk about the net worth of Americans. What class does that put you in relative to the averages? And politicians love to use the term middle class. It evokes images of vigorous, respectable, hardworking Americans with good moral values. And the truth is, the middle class includes people of vastly different lifestyles and vastly different concerns. Now, during his first speech to joint session of Congress, President Trump blamed the shrinking of the middle class on America's trade policies, repeated his promise to provide massive tax relief to this group, and said that a merit-based immigration system will help struggling families get back to the middle class category. Of course, he's talking about American families. But really, what is middle class in America? Which Americans are actually middle class? That's the question. Well, the median household income in the U.S. is $56,500. So approximately half of all Americans fall below this 56.5 annual income figure, and the other half are above it. But this figure by itself doesn't really help us because it doesn't compare households of different sizes. So 56.5 to a young couple with no children is very different from 56.5 for a couple with three children, especially if, you know, that couple has kids in college. So what is upper middle class? According to census data from 2015, about 6% of U.S. households bring in $200,000 or more every year, and 14% bring in between $100,000 and $150,000. This area is upper middle class. So here's the rest of the story. While folks in lower income classes have struggled to break higher, people with higher incomes have seen their earnings grow faster than those with lower incomes. That's important. For example, the number of families with three-person household income between $100,000 and $350,000 has grown from 13% of the population in 1979 to 29% of the population in 2014. So while the upper middle class suggests reasonable wealth, the true middle class includes the middle of the middle class, if you know what I mean. And then there's the lower middle class. And that's made up of 42% of American households that earned between $35,000 and $100,000 in 2015. So those belonging to the lower middle class don't quite live in poverty, but are one misfortune away of being hurtled below the poverty line. And the middle class is shrinking. This group used to make up the vast majority of the American population, but now stands at roughly 40% of the American population. And talking about the poverty level, the lowest class includes any American household that falls under the poverty line. And basically, the poverty line is income of $24,000 per year for a family of four. Not very much money. It's also hotly debated because many of these Americans live in urban areas that have a higher cost of living, and that makes that $24,000 even worse. And even if they made above that $24,000 and they were considered lower middle class, they may be closer to the poverty line than the numbers seem to suggest. So what is all this? What's the point of all this? You know, a few weeks ago, I attended a lecture from the presidential historian John Meacham, where he said that the most important number in the presidential election, in his opinion, was $135,000. $135,000 is, in today's dollars, the required income to be considered truly middle class, to live that middle class lifestyle that people used to live, let's say, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. But it's inflation adjusted. And as you can see from the information I've discussed thus far, many, many Americans don't reach this level. So my two cents is that Americans see themselves and the condition of their country from the viewpoint of being comfortably middle class. And when the system doesn't live up to their expectations, there's a fair amount of dissatisfaction with the status quo. When that dissatisfaction becomes a high degree of dissatisfaction, it's going to have a boiling point to force a change. Welcome to 2017.